This is a replay of the Thursday night, May 29th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and as always, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing it has no importance whatsoever. That's right. We take a leave from the important items of the day and try to just have a good time. And we'll get to a Chuck in Milwaukee who's going to be kicking it off tonight. But before we do, archaeologists in Great Britain are all a Twitter. They are just thrilled with not so much their latest discovery, because they actually discovered it last year, but they had no idea what it was. Well, now they know. And it was found at one of the two Anglo-Saxon ceremonies, ancient cemeteries, that were first excavated in 1938. Never since then, they've been the gift that keep on giving, a wealth of knowledge about pre-Norman British history. And so last summer, actually last May, they were doing an excavation, and they unearthed the base of a Bromwell bucket, dating back to the 6th century. And it was really interesting to them. They figured this has some purpose that defies any knowledge. And, you know, they're going to find out because this looked like, you know, really serious. Dating back to the 500s, decorated with a hunting scene, depicting men armed with swords and shields and dogs and lions. And it was interesting that it was actually a vessel from the south, from the southern classical world. They managed to figure that out, and they had no idea why it was here in the north and where it was found. And they wondered about that, and they wondered about its use. You know something's coming, don't you? All right, so they figured out what it was. Well, it turns out, after the computerized tomography and the CT scans and the x-rays, it was a bucket used to hold cremated remains. Now, this is interesting. They know that for a lot of different reasons that I'll spare you. But yes, in a morbid turn of events, they made this discovery that they cannot deny. But what's fascinating is apparently this wasn't a one-trip vessel. They found human and animal bones, and actually it was only one human bone. It turned out to be an ankle bone, but there was fragments of a skull as well. And but in addition to that, there were paws and yeah, animal-like things, and a number of things that will come to be discovered, no doubt. But they believe the bucket came from modern Turkey, yeah, the Byzantine Empire. They have no idea how it got there or why, but it was already 100 years old, they're figuring, when it arrived in Great Britain. Now, in terms of who was in this and why multiple trips and now only one trip, they don't know. But they found, quote-unquote, a mystery object, and they've been looking at this now for months. It turns out that it's a double-sided comb made from an antler. And what's interesting about it is that, remember, this is an urn for cremation. It wasn't burned. Who knows? But what the National Trust put a good spin on it, saying, "This suggests the Anglo-Saxons took grooming seriously, as combs have been found before in male and female burials." Well, slightly less romantically, it's also useful in the control of lice. But the bottom line is that that they know that it was used to contain bodies of animal and man, and they couldn't sex the human bone that was found, and so now they're going after DNA, hoping that something survived on the comb. But in the meantime, here it is that for a year they've been talking about this rare and prized possession, and what could it be use, and why was it buried? And the mystery was, why would they bury it? It must have held some very esoteric purpose. Yeah, it held the remains, as someone, not someone, but many, were cremated. So that's the big story out of Great Britain. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Chuck in Milwaukee, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I just had a question, a technical question, about pirate radio stations.
Are we talking about in the U.S.?
Yeah, just okay. In the U.S.
Okay.
And I know a pirate radio station is when somebody just goes out and buys a transmitter and broadcasts whenever they want to, without any kind of license from the FCC. Now, but I also know they make transmitters that are really small to be used around the house, but maybe at a school, you know, just a really small transmitter. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what the difference is between those small ones and a pirate station.
Power.
In other words, when does a small one become power. A pirate?
No, power. It's part of Part 15 of the FCC code, and you can look at a number of Part 15 compliant transmitters. You know, run you about $100, maybe as much as $300 with bells and whistles, and that way you can broadcast without a license. You may want to do it just because you're sending audio from one room to another or what have you, but some of them, even though the power is very low, by the way, on AM, it's 1/10 of a watt, all right, and a 3-meter antenna. But so you're talking about very low, and of course, FM transmitters are slightly more powerful than that. But the bottom line is they're not made to go very far, and you can easily buy them. And so the reason for this, of course, is that if you're broadcasting with too much power, the chances are you're going to be interfering with a licensed station. And the whole purpose, before there was an FCC, there was an FRC, a Federal Radio Commission, that started in 1925. And the reason they needed this was that it was the Wild West. People were broadcasting on top of everybody. And they said, well, we need some regulations as to what's okay. And there's a number of them. Believe me, it's not easy to navigate this. But in terms of Part 15, they understand that you personally might want to, move some audio from one room to another, and that's okay. Interestingly, some of them, even without detuning them, because you can take those, believe me, those low-power transmitters and get a lot more out of them than the manufacturing was suggesting you do. But even without that, you very often find that one of them will be compliant, but it's going a little further than you know. I found this the hard way in Pennsylvania when I had them actually all over the house for all sorts of reasons. And I drove about a mile away, maybe, to the parking lot of a Wawa. And what do I hear when I go use one of my frequencies? I hear my transmitter. So needless to say, I wasn't pleased. But, you can do that. Now, of course, a pirate isn't interested in doing that. A pirate wants to get a whole neighborhood.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Well,
how far are we?
Well, if you're a pirate, you're not going to use a Part 15 transmitter. You'll use something a little more powerful. And depending on what you use, and depending on what frequency, and depending what else is going on with it, I'll spare you the details. The bottom line is you'll cover many miles. You know, not necessarily all of Atlanta, for instance, but you'll cover a neighborhood for sure. Why do people do it? Various reasons. It is highly illegal. And the FCC in the last several years has really tried to come down on pirates. And one of the things, of course, is finding them, which is not hard. But when you find them in terms of the location, what do? You know, I mean, these are people who aren't compliant. They're not following the law. They're not going to pay your fines and all that. So what the FCC started to do in the last few years is they're finding the landlords a lot of money. So the bottom line is, if you know you're a landlord and you've been informed that somebody is operating illegally, if you don't clean that up, the fine is yours. And that's been true for some churches as well. It depends, you know, who's behind it and why. But the reasons vary from some kid in their bedroom who just wants to play his favorite records to people who are politically oriented toward certain certain groups of the population that they're wanting to reach.
Well, if you have one of these small transmitters and you're within the legal limits of power, are you allowed to broadcast songs, broadcast records?
Well, if you're asking me, technically, can you do that? No, of course not, because there's copyright infringement. But if you think that either Sound Exchange or the Performing Rights Societies are going to come down on you, believe me, it'll be a long time beforehand. Probably not going to be an issue. Is it technically legal? No. Are you likely to get in trouble because you've got, a little Part 15 transmitter? Why would you want to do this?
Well, what happened was, a friend of mine had a bunch of old 78s from his mother.
Okay.
And he didn't want them, and I told him I'd take them off his hands.
Okay.
So I kind of have them sitting here, maybe 60 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of brainstorming different ideas on what I should do with them.
Well,
I mean, I know I can digitize them and listen to them.
And that's,
they're just taking,
and that's what I would suggest. Make high quality digital copies of them so they'll be preserved. Because, as you know, with 78s, that's shellac. They break easily.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I've noticed that.
I'll tell you who used to use a lot of low-power transmitters, and probably still do, and that was drive-in movie theaters, long after they realized we don't have to have the clunky speaker hanging out the window with the cord to the pole. We can just put it on an FM frequency. And so things like that, some mega churches use them, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But
and you said the FM is a little more power than AM. Do you think FM would go forward?
You know, for the most part, yes. I've used both, and I would say that for the most part, you're going to find, and they'll wind up being cheaper too. But you know, they'll sell them as things like whole house transmitters, and Amazon's got them, they brag it'll let you broadcast 150 feet throughout your entire home. Yeah, well, again, you can detune them and get a lot further, but I don't suggest you do.
Okay. All right.
But
I know there's a guy here in Milwaukee that plays 78 records a weekend. I mean, he has actual 78 turntable, and he plays the actual records.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I got the idea from.
Is he doing it on a low power station or a pirate station, or what's he doing it on?
I think it's a college station.
Oh, sure. And you know, college stations vary. They vary from carrier current. Some college stations have 10 watts to, full class B or C FM stations. Depends on the college, obviously.
Okay. All right. And then I also have two record requests.
You do? Well, let me get a piece of paper, and I will write them down. All right. What do you want to hear?
First one is In the Midnight Hour by Wilson Pickett.
Okay. You got it. What else?
And the other one is You Can't Love Me in the Midnight Hour.
Oh, okay. The answer
by
record. All right. Which version?
That's kind of a response to Wilson Pickett's record.
Yeah. All right. All right, Chuck. It'll probably be next week, but you'll hear them both.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I have all your requests queued up for tonight. No, I'll be done with all your requests. But. I wrote them all down, and I lost the paper that told me who requested what. So I'll be doing that mostly from memory. But actually, I'm not going to kick it off with a request anyway. I promised I would do a little more Donnie Elbert, since this would be his birth anniversary week. He would have been 89. And can't do enough Donnie Elbert, really. So I thought we'd do that. And interestingly, in 1957, that was a great year for him on Deluxe. He put out a number of things. And one of them, in fact, might have been the very first thing he put out on Deluxe, What Can I Do? What a great record. And, of course, nobody in the States heard it, but some guy in Jamaica did, Derek Harriott, And so in 1971, he put it out because there were so many requests for it as weddings. In fact, on some of the versions, it says the wedding song. Now, of course, he gives himself co-writer credit, but, well, that's not new for Donnie. I guess it's surprising he got any credit at all, but he did. So you'll hear Donnie Elbert doing it, and then we'll have a little Derek Harriott as well coming up on WGN Radio. James, Donnie Elbert, say probably the first thing he did for Deluxe, 1957, and a fine song that that absolutely nobody ever heard, or very few people anyway. And then here comes Derek Harriott, who was big in his own name in Jamaica, and he does a remake, which becomes so big it is known as the wedding song. Sounds familiar, actually. Background of that, actually, but I'll go with Donnie's voice. But I'll leave it to you to decide as we continue right here on WGN Radio.
It's the world's gone crazy cotillion. Ladies are dancing alone. Cause the sidemen all wanna be frontmen. And the frontmen all wanna go home.
Johnny come lately, leaves are coming in early. The early bird's showing up late. The straight men all wanna be funny. The funny men all wanna get straight. The villains have turned into heroes. The heroes have turned into heels. The dealers all wanna be lovers. And the lovers all want to make deals.
It's the world's gone crazy cotillion. The ladies are dancing alone. The side men all want to be front men. And the front men all want to go home.
The meek, they ain't inherited nothing. The leaders are falling behind. So I'm singing my songs to the deaf man, dancing my dance to the blind.
It's the world's gone crazy cotillion. The ladies are dancing alone. Cause the side men all wanna be front men. And the front men all wanna go.
Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Waylon Jennings, by your request. I have no idea who requested it, but it's The World Gone Crazy Cotillion, 1979 on RCA, and apologies for not knowing who requested what, but somebody did, and I hope they liked it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Marjorie in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my call.
Glad you did. What's up?
Okay. You know, in that song you just played, I could hear polka, the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
I can hear so many different genres, even though that's country.
Yeah.
You know? And I called to say that when you were discussing WLS Radio a few days ago, or was it yesterday or day before yesterday, I remember as a kid listening back in the 1960s, 70s, all the way down to in Mississippi. You could hear WLS on a clear night, depending on how the wind blew.
Oh, sure. You know, it was founded, as you probably know, by Sears. It used to stand for World's Largest Store. So, yes, it got out there, you betcha, state after state.
Yes, and Mound Body, Mississippi is like 2 hours south of Memphis, Tennessee, you know, just for people to know. And it's in between Clarksdale. Well, it's like near Clarksdale, and that's where the actor, oh, I can't think of his name, has a restaurant. Oh, what's the actor?
I don't know.
Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
Morgan Freeman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how far you could hear that radio station coming out of Chicago. So it was always good to hear. And then on the drive, for some reason, it was I could always hear it on the drive from Mound Bayou back north coming up to Chicago on Highway 61. And I thank you so much for your show. It's most enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. So besides WLS, what else did you listen to?
Oh, WCFL.
But, I mean, on that drive, did you ever check out WLAC?
You know, because my parents were programming the station.
Yeah.
Sometimes I could put in requests.
Because at night, LAC had some of the best soul and R&B ever. People like John Ara and Hoss Allen and all that. It was a wonderful station, 1510.
Okay, and so between WLS, because they used to play music.
Of course.
Well, my mother listened to WAIT.
I don't blame her.
Or was it WIND?
Either way.
And so that's how I got my pop music in, you know, the Fifth Dimension and Andy Williams.
Yep.
Okay, so then when I started making my request for AM, you know, it was WVON.
Yes.
And then later WJPC.
Right.
Johnson Publications was like the it was giving WVON a, you know, run for its money.
Sure.
But then those you listened to once you got closer to Chicago. But then on a trip when I was driving my son to school in 2008 to Atlanta.
Yeah.
We could hear WVON as far going to Atlanta. We could hear it as far away as Kentucky. In between Indianapolis and Kentucky, and then it started fading out.
Now, had they moved up to the extended band at that point?
To 1690, from 1450
right.
to 1690? Yep.
Yeah. Well, see,
they had.
That extended band was magical because there's so few stations on it. And so the stations that were there traveled. You know, I remember sitting looking at Old Faithful in the park, and I'm listening to a station in Ogden, Utah on 1660. So, yeah, that EB, the extended band, was just terrific.
Right, and that was as late as 2008.
Yeah.
And it was during the day hours, so, things come in a bit better during the day. Some stations do. This station, WGN, comes in just as nice during the day as it does at night.
Depends where you are.
In Chicago, at least for me, on the southeast side, almost near Indiana.
Yes, sure.
It comes in just as clear?
Absolutely. Well, it's 50,000 watts, so yeah, and it's got a... They really kept up their transmitter and their tower. You know, with AM, the tower you see going up in the air, that's only half the signal. Then there's a ground system that you don't see, buried copper radials. And stations, when they're, you know, running low on money or whatever, they don't necessarily keep up the ground system, and that really hurts signals.
Well, thank you for your expertise.
Oh, I'm just so delighted you called, and I hope you will again.
And the man at the door, too, Mr. John.
All right. Good
thank
deal.
You.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So great to hear from Marjorie, and plenty of room for you. 888-876-5593. Sherry in Naperville. Sherry, how are you doing? Sherry, you still with us? No, Sherry left us, and I know Sherry is in mourning over the loss of her cousin. That is just tough all the way around. Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio. Oh, no. Here we go again. Don't tell me this. All right, I don't even want to hear this. I have no idea what's going on with the phones. Once again, when I got back to the studio on tonight, I'm at a different location than I was Monday through Wednesday.
Go to a break.
Yeah, I will. I will. And John says go to a break. Yes, I will have to go to a break. I understand that. So anyway, got back to this location earlier today. And what do I see? I see a ladder truck from the cable company. You know, it's cable broadband at this location. And I think to myself, I'm in trouble now. But immediately came in, did some speed tests. Everything looked good. But apparently the phones don't look good. So we'll find out what's going on, we hope, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I believe we're back. We'll find out in a moment as we try Jim from Richmond again. And we'll also hope that Sherry will call back. But in the meantime, that, as you know, is the Marvelettes. Strange I Know. Who's doing lead on that? Gladys Horton. Why did I play that? Because she would have turned 80 tomorrow, and sadly been gone now for quite a long time. I think it was 2011, and she had a number of strokes and died in Sherman Oaks in a convalescent home, and 65 years old. But you know, there were really, when it came down to it, two lead singers for the Marvelettes who mattered: Gladys Horton and Wanda Young. And Gladys had done Twist and Postman, A Playboy, Beechwood 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, and Someday, Someway, Strange I Know, which we just played. My Daddy Knows Best, As Long as I Know He's Mine, He's a Good Guy, and Too Many Fish in the Sea. And then she did a deal with Wanda together. Gladys and Wanda are both on Locking Up My Heart. But then Wanda Young was responsible Forever and You're My Remedy and I'll Keep Holding On and Danger Heartbreak Ahead and Don't Mess with Bill and You're the One and Hunter Gets Captured by the Game, When You're Young and in Love, My Baby Must Be a Magician, Here I Am, Baby, Destination Anywhere, That's How Heartaches Are Made, Marionette, and A Breath Talking Guy. And so that was the deal between the two of them, and they were the main forces there. And yes, rest in peace, Gladys Horton. So Jim in Richmond, keeping my fingers crossed. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, very good. And I hear you. So what's happening?
Well, first off, I didn't talk to anybody today, so I'm in a great mood.
Excellent.
And secondly, Edmonton Oilers Wednesday, and they're going to face the Panthers in a rematch for the Stanley Cup.
No, we got a real problem here. All of a sudden, it sounds like you're underwater. God. Hang on a minute. I don't know what we're going to do.
I'm still here.
I heard I'm still here perfectly. So let's just move along and hope that it was just a one-off. So, all right. So good mood, and that's good. And I've got some of your requests coming up.
Hello?
Yes, are you there? I hear you. Are you there? No, you don't hear me. Oh, that's
hello?
Yes, I hear you. All right. So I guess Jim doesn't hear me. So now it's a one-way ticket that way. So we put Jim on hold. See if John can hear him. Otherwise, we'll ask him to call back. I have no idea. But like I said, when I got here and saw the cable hook and ladder truck, they're climbing poles and shouldn't be, at least not here. But in any event, the deal was that everything was working fine. I tested everything to heck and back, and I thought, oh, thank God, looks good. Well, maybe not. All right, so I'll ask John to pick up Jim's phone and see whether he can make contact. And meanwhile, you're saying no, you can't hear a thing. Okay, you hear nothing. All right, so I'll try David in Winthrop Harbor and hope. Are you there, David?
Yes, Raleigh, hello.
All right, good. Hello, David.
Hello.
Yes, here
you
are.
We're live.
I hear
you. We're live in Illinois, at least.
Well, you are. Do you not hear me?
I hear you perfect.
Okay, and me too, so good. What's up?
I'm on a 4G flip phone. Old school.
Well, we don't care what you're on. It worked. All right. So what you got?
I just want to throw out a request for Mose Alice. I don't know if you know this, but this is a young man blues song he wrote. And Pete Townsend considered him a jazz sage.
Yeah, Mose Allison.
And,
what do you want to hear by him?
Mose Allison.
Yeah, I know exactly who you mean, but this is kind of off our beaten path. So tell me what you want to hear, and I'll decide whether or not we'll play it.
Young Man Blues?
Maybe. All right, I'll think about it.
All right. Well, you got a connection here, so.
Yes, and I'm thrilled about it. You've made my night.
All right.
Okay, thanks, David. I appreciate it.
All
right, good deal. So yeah, I don't know, Young Man Blues, I'm not sure about that. All right, so we'll try Jim in Richmond again and hope. No, Jim hung up. All right, so, Jim will have to call back. But we did hear David, so that's a start in the absolute right direction. Yeah, sometimes I get on the air and think I'm just going to pass out. That's what will happen here. Gail in Michigan, what's up, Gail?
This is Daddy G.
Yes. Gail, are you there? I heard you for a moment there, and now I don't. Oh, no. All right, well, Gail, I think you're going to have to call me back, and I'm sorry about this, and I don't know why, because everything at my end looks good. And yeah, it's one of those, well, next week we'll do the show from Globe, at least Monday through Wednesday, and we will avoid that problem. We'll have a whole new set of problems, you know, so, right. And, I mentioned before that I wear a device that monitors a lot of my bodily functions and you know, heartbeat and stuff like that and all that. And I was just looking at, and it's like, you're off the charts stressed right now. Yeah, no kidding. I didn't need a device to tell me that. I knew that all by myself. All right. So and John just comes in here and keeps giving me the thumbs down symbol, like I'm supposed to do something. Well, go ahead and do it. I can't get up and reboot it. We don't do that. All right, I know what I can do though. Actually, I can play a bumper. And walk over and reboot it. So in fact, this was one that I was going to play for Jim in Richmond. So hopefully he's listening, since if nothing else, he couldn't call. But he wanted to hear a Dean Martin love song. I think it was Jim in Richmond, and I thought, well, let's play a hit from the '60s.
Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your heart. Everybody lost somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you.
All right, so we'll try this. And yeah, I've got a few other tricks up my bag if this doesn't work, but hopefully it will. And I'm sure it is in some way testing whatever. All right. And I just disconnected the device, all right, because now I don't want to know. All right, so let's see. I believe John is trying to talk to Sherry in Naperville, and if he can't, then I have to reboot something. I'm so sorry about this. Really, I am. It shouldn't be happening, and the worst part is, of course, I don't know why it is. Let's see if we can talk to Sherry from Naperville, and I'll hold my fingers and crossed and pray to everything holy. Sherry in Naperville, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. For the moment, anyway. Let's see how it goes.
Yes, let's see. And I just told John that when I was listening to the lady was talking about WLS and CFL, on my phone, I can usually hear you because I don't have the 2-minute lag, your current speaking. But it would, like, phase in and out. It would stop, and it would start again. Mm. It would stop, and it would start again. I don't know if that makes any difference, but to me, sounds like somebody laid something and severed something.
What? No, good feedback. Glad to know. There's only two possible culprits in this, since the internet connection is solid. So it's not that. And I've been checking both the upstream and the downstream. That's solid. So it's either the Telos, which you don't need to know what that is, or it's the ATA, and you don't need to know what that is either. But it's one of those two. And so this time I just rebooted the ATA separately, and you came back. So we're going to find out.
That's fine. I just wanted to let you know what happened.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And it was also when I kept on trying to call back when you said, Sherry, she's not there. Anyway, I would, like, one time I got 2 rings and then nothing for 30 seconds, and then it disconnected. And then another time 3 rings, and then another time 8 rings.
Well, that's 7. Sounds like it's the ATA, and it might be at the head end, which would mean that it's not even here. It would be, of all things, in Oklahoma City.
Well, I know you know a lot,
absolutely. You've told me a lot, and so far, so good. Let's hope it holds. So what else is going on?
Okay.
Firstly, how are you doing today?
I'm still numb. I'm still reminiscing.
Sure.
I think I want to call you, regularly and tell you a story a night. Or if I'm not asleep.
Okay, a gym story. Okay, I'll take it.
Because he's so much fun. He was my favorite second cousin.
All right.
Well, anyway, I have favorite first cousins too. But
now, by the way, when you say second cousin, how exactly is he related? What relative do you share?
My grandfather. They had 7 or so kids in their family.
Okay,
and his mother was one of my grandfather's sisters.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. All right.
And then the people he's closest to downtown, the other son is another sister's son.
Well, these would be your aunts then. Great aunts, so to speak. These are sisters of your grandparents.
Those two are gone.
Right. Okay.
But
so
my second cousins are left.
Right. So that means you both share a great grandparent.
No, because I'm a first cousin. I mean, my cousin.
If you're a first cousin,
I'm confused.
If you're a first cousin, you would each share a grandparent, the same grandparent. You're a second,
so that's my mom and him.
Right. So if we're talking about, it is his grandparent and it is your great grandparent, is that how that works?
No, it was my grandfather and it was his. My grandfather.
Hang on
a
minute. Don't go away. I'll get this together.
Go
away. All right. We'll find it if they're once removed. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Mm-hmm. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there he is, Frankie Valli, Can't Take My Eyes Off You. I think it was Tubby who requested that, but like I say, I lost that part of the request list. It's a long story. But yeah, 1966 on Philipson, that's one where we can't blame VJ. Usually when they're taking a lead singer from a group and separating them out, Gene Chandler comes to mind, or Jerry Butler. That's very much a VJ thing. But the Four Seasons had already left VJ. They were at Phillips at the time, and here in 1967 was a solo by Frankie Valli. All right, more than you ever wanted to know. Now, we're talking to Sherry from Naperville. All right, so now, Sherry, here's the deal. What I want to know is your common ancestor, direct ancestor. In other words, grandparent, great-grandparent, great-great, where do you intersect with Jim?
Okay, do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear, but I don't care about aunts, so I don't care about his sister or anything.
No.
We're going just with grandparents.
My mom... My mom is first cousin.
I don't care about any of that. Yeah, I don't care about that. I'm asking you a different question. Where do you and Jimmy intersect? In other words, where does the line start? Like, it might be a grandparent with you and a great-grandparent with him, or vice versa. That's what I'm after.
Oh, so my grandfather's brothers and sisters, you want the...
So if
grandparents that had the sibling.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so it would be, let's see. It would be, yes, my great-grandparent, which was his grandparents.
Okay, so it was his direct grandparent and your great-grandparent. In that case, he's not your second cousin. He's your first cousin once removed.
Oh, wow, don't confuse me.
Yeah, no, that's the way it works. That's why I was asking you. And all you have to do for anybody at home who's wanting to do this, you go back and find the direct lineage. In other words, if it's your great-grandparent where they intersect and his, in this case, grandparent, that's a first cousin once removed. Now, if you each had in common the same great-grandparent, then you'd be second cousins.
Oh, wow, I... did not know that.
Most people don't.
My entire life.
Yeah, most people don't. But it's you know, the wonks who love genealogy, you know, things like that. So best repository for that, without a doubt, the Mormon Church. They keep up with this, and they're actually very helpful.
But anyway, yeah, I know they are. I remember my real dad went there find out.
You can get all sorts of things. They're truly wonderful. Yes. So, anyway, regardless of how he was related, he was your cousin and you were close, and suddenly he's gone. And like I say, that's a blessing for him. Nobody wants to linger, but that's just heartbreaking for you.
Well, he was only 76.
Well, yeah, and it's like I say, it was a shock to you, and I more than understand that.
Well,
it was
a shock to me. I have two regrets in my life about some relatives, and he is the second one. Only the second one. First one was in 1979. My grandmother, Genevieve or Jean. And
yeah, you told me about this.
She had exploratory surgery. She called me because I was not her favorite, but I mean, she could talk to me, and she said she was afraid of it. And I at 17 said, oh, Grandma, don't worry. Medical profession has come such a long way. But she had like this premonition thing in that case, at any rate.
And it was true. And yeah.
Yeah. And then she was at Good Same Hospital, which is, I think, Downers Grove. And this old guy did exploratory surgery on her. Found out she had two urethras.
Really? Interesting.
Well, kind of, but if you know what she did for a living, she worked for Air Guide, you know, those things you hang on your wall with the barometer and the temperature. And the,
all right.
And they wouldn't let them go to the bathroom.
Oh.
So.
Well, yeah, that was problematic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, but, you know, things work out the way they're supposed to. And you and Jimmy talked regularly, and you guys were close. So.
Yes, except his birthday was the 14th of May, and that was a Wednesday. And then I missed it by like a day or two. And the only reason I looked it up was because my Aunt Carol asked me, do you know his birthday? And so I looked on my old phone. Because whenever I get a new phone, I never
move everything. Yeah.
Because those old phones did have no SIM cards. And if you got 360 contacts, you know, it just doesn't help for you to spend time doing that. So I just keep charging the old phone.
Right. So meanwhile, here they're asking about his birthday, and you look up and you go, oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, it hit you.
No, I mean, she asked me like a month ahead of time because they'd been talking because she had major surgery recently. At any rate, so they'd been talking, and as kids, she, my mom, and he, and would play together during family gatherings. And Jimmy was 4 years younger, I think, than my aunt. But at any rate, where was I going? So my regret is that I did not call him, and I thought when I saw it was like a Thursday or Friday and I missed it, I thought, oh, I'll call him on the weekend. I have more time, and I completely forgot.
Yeah, and that is a heartbreak. But, you know, believe me, he's in a much better place, and he does not want you to be concerned about that. He knows what's in your heart.
No. Oh, really?
Yes, guaranteed.
All right, because I miss him so much. And I hope he can look down on me.
He does. He does, and he looks
at my thoughts or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. He knows what's in your heart, and he can laugh at some of it. But I'll tell you, I've never heard about anybody who passed over and there was any type of contact where they wanted anybody to grieve for them. They don't. They absolutely don't. It actually is bad for somebody who's passed over if you're grieving heavily because it ties them to the earthquake.
I'm not grieving heavily, but I'm kicking myself for not calling, and I'm missing him. And I, like yesterday, I spent the whole day reminiscing.
Well, just cherish the good times, and reminiscing is a good thing. That's very healthy. And know that in a blink of an eye, you'll be reunited.
Oh, yeah, it is going to be a blink.
It is. It absolutely is. And so, hold on to that and hold on to the pleasant memories.
But I'm only 62, so.
Well, you just never know.
Yeah, you do never know.
You do. That's the way life is, you know. The past isn't coming back. The future's not here. All we got is the present.
You're correct.
Yeah, which is why they call it a present.
All right.
All right.
Okay, I will let you go, and then maybe tomorrow tomorrow's Friday.
Well, we have Monday Night Trivia, and then next Tuesday.
Is there a straggler?
I don't know. No, I don't think. I think we're up for. Well, let me look. I don't think. I think. No, new
I think
question.
I slept through that day too.
Right. Well, sometimes I do too. No, it's a new question because no one got the straggler, so we revealed it at the end of the show, and there will be a new question on Monday.
Okay, excellent.
All right.
Think about anything.
We'll talk to you then.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you
appreciate
so much, Raleigh.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. So, the genealogy stuff does kind of drive you crazy, whether they're second or once removed or how that works. But it's easy to figure it out once you realize the common ancestor trick. All right. So, 888-876-5593. And Gail is back. We'll try it again. So, Gail, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Gail. There you are.
Okay. Now, do you know this is Gail who wrote Daddy
Jazz? Of course I do. And, you know, even if you didn't say you were Gail, I recognize your voice.
Oh, okay, because last time, I'm an idiot, I called you on a Monday night.
Yeah, right, I know, we talked about Oscar and a number of other things, but yeah, Monday night we try to keep for trivia.
Yeah, I screwed up.
No.
Well, I called you back, and because I've written for public radio and I wrote for the Chicago Tribune. I've got all kinds of stories. I don't want to, you know, like, I don't know if you want to hear them. I'm not going to do it now. But I did want to talk some more about Oscar Brown because I didn't get to say that he wasn't necessarily a composer.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lyricist. Like, he didn't write the music for the work song. Nat Adderley wrote the music.
Of course. But he put the words to it. Yeah.
He also put the words to a million other wonderful jazz songs.
Yeah.
And I think his best song, which you never played, you played The Snake because, you know, people know that one. His song, that he wrote about his son. It is a fabulous song, and a lot of jazz singers have sung it besides him. It's That Dare.
Yeah, no, I know the song, D-A-T-D-E-R-E. I know it. And
right.
He did that on the Ed Sullivan Show. There's a clip of it.
Well, I'd love if you would play that.
Okay.
You know Sheila Jordan?
I know the name.
The jazz. She's a jazz singer.
Yeah.
She sings it. And she sings another one called Humdrum Blues, which a lot of jazz singers sing his songs. But I'd like people to hear that song that he wrote about his son.
Okay. I'll do it next week. We will play it. And of course, that was originally an instrumental Bobby Timmons wrote.
Bobby Timmons,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's a good name. That's a Chicago name. Yeah, he wrote a lot of the music. Also, he wrote lyrics to Black Orpheus,
mm-hmm.
which never had. Somebody wrote stupid lyrics. A Day in the Life of a Fool, which is not what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a carnival.
Right.
That's a beautiful song. He sings that song too.
Yeah.
The day of the carnival.
Yeah.
So, and I sent you an essay about Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, but I guess you didn't like it very much.
No, I don't know. I didn't see it. I gotta find it, I guess. When did you do it?
Oh, remember when I called up and started talking about
it? Yeah.
I sent it to you the next day from the radio station.
Okay.
Radio Harbor Country.
Right.
You know?
I'll have to look for this. I'm very behind on email at the moment, but I will look for it.
It's about Kukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Right.
And my experiences with them. It's a beautiful essay.
Okay, I found it.
I
just went to look for it, and I found it. All right. This is great. I will take a look and I will read this.
Oh, thank you. Because I'd really like to know what you thought of it.
Oh, yeah.
If you like Daddy Jazz, you would like this.
Okay. I can't wait. 12 minutes and 36 seconds, and I will listen to it this weekend.
Well, you don't have to do that. I'm just...
No, I will. Absolutely. Now that I know
fun.
It's here.
Relax.
Apologies for not seeing it. So... I will look forward to it.
Oh, I thought you hated it.
Oh, no. You know, email, unfortunately, and in some cases, people never hear back from me because when I get really overwhelmed, I just dump them all. So if you don't hear from me, it's probably that I didn't see it, not that I didn't like it.
Yeah, but I heard from you right away when I sent
well,
you
that,
Daddy Jazz.
Right, but that happens. That's what I mean. You sent it at a time when I looked at email. I might not have looked at email since. That's
okay.
You know, that's why I always say when they try to do this paperless billing, I'm like, not if you want to get paid.
I will look for
that and look forward to it. All right, Gail, look forward to it.
Okay,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So
okay.
Good deal.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. No, I apologize in advance if I've spaced your email as well. I try. And, you know, sometimes I'm right on it because, of course, it's just the way it falls. And then other times, well. All right. So, all right, we'll get to Jim in Richmond. We got Cindy in Chicago. And Douglas in Silver Spring, Maryland. Fictitious song names. All right. That's interesting. We'll find out about that on WGN Radio. Radio, I'm Raleigh Jones. 1962, Sam Cooke, and again, apologies, I don't remember who requested it, but I was glad to play it. And we'll continue talking to you in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Pretty as a midsummer's morn, they called her
James. Yep, the Four Seasons, Dawn, 1964 on Phillips. And I think it was Jim in Richmond who wanted that, too. We'll be talking to him in a little while here, before the hour is up. Douglas in Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening. Calling outside of the capital of the Western Free World, Washington, D.C.
All right.
Now, names are very interesting to me. You just played Dawn. I wonder, was that a real person? But we all know about Short Fat Fanny, or Short Fat Fanny,
yes.
I would say. We all know about, Skinny Minnie. And who was the other one? Short Fat Fanny, Skinny Minnie.
Well, why not get into the 60s where you get first and last name, like Jennifer Eccles or Jennifer Tompkins?
Yes. I wonder, now Bruce Springsteen, I noticed in a couple of his songs, he had people like Big Balls Billy, Weak Kneed Willie, Crazy Davey. You know, just wonder, were these actual people, or as we used to say when we were kids, made up names or fictitious names, and they become celebrated?
I think they're largely fictitious.
And that's because, and then sometimes I start thinking, now if I were a singer or songwriter or something, I'd give myself a name. I'd say Dougie Wuggie, which is kind of stupid, but I like it. Because a friend of mine used to call me that, and I didn't like it. And she teased me. So when I realized that I didn't need to get bothered by it, she stopped teasing me about it. Because when she'd say,
well, you know,
Yaggy Waggy, and I would say, stop calling me that. And she would continue, and she'd just start laughing, and the whole work crew would be laughing. So when I just became silent, she stopped calling me that. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I like Dougie Wuggie. Maybe it's not so bad after all.
Well, now, you know, there is a blues name generator. You're aware of that, right?
Yes.
So use the your first initial to find out your first name. So you would be a D. That would be old. What's your middle initial?
M.
M. Okay, that would be Gumbo. And your last initial?
D.
That would be Dupree. You'd be old Gumbo Dupree.
I like it. I need to become talented at something.
Yeah, well.
And everybody will know my name. The next, do you remember this guy, old Gumbo Dupree?
Right.
It's nice. But I'm wondering, though, people like Bruce Springsteen, and I guess we'll never know, did he ever get sued by somebody? How would you like to be called?
You can't sue somebody for that.
You can't?
No. Well, now, let's put it this way. If there was somebody named, say, Jennifer Tompkins, and if the song claimed that she was a lady of ill repute and had enough, she might be able to bring a case, but I don't think she'd win.
Oh, no. She wouldn't.
So, no. No, you don't have to worry about that. Nobody is, who's Susie Q? We can go on and on.
Oh, yeah, Susie Q.
Yeah, or Susan. Susan by the Buckinghams. Who's she?
Susan, looks like I'm losing.
That's right. Yeah. We'll have to ask James Holvey, who we'll have on again, who wrote all those songs. who are any of these people? Nadine! You know, that's one of my faves.
Oh.
I got on the city bus and found a vacant seat. I thought of some future bride. Walking down the street, I shouted to the driver, "Hey, conductor, you must slow down. I think I see her. Please let me off this bus." And Nadine! Yeah, there you go.
Now, let me think about this. Betty Wright once said, they were talking about rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, this is probably her opinion, but I think it had validity. She said, who was the perhaps one of the first rappers? And we say, who would you say? Let me ask you, who would you think was one of the first rappers?
Well, that's how you define it. And that's like asking for the first rock and roll record. You know, you can go way,
true,
way back. So what did Betty say?
Well, here's what she said. She said it was Jimmy Dean. What song do you think she was talking about? She said, like, "Ever moaning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" away, 245. And I'm thinking, you know, she's right.
Well,
I had never thought of it that way.
Well, yeah, like I've always said,
Jimmy Dean.
But there are so many songs that fit that. Like I've always said, I'm very surprised nobody ever redid Vehicle by the Ides of March. It's a call and response and would have many roles. Friendly stranger,
yes,
in a black sedan, and won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I will take you to the nursery.
I'll take you to the
That's
your
right.
star.
Yeah.
Your vehicle.
Yeah. So, you can
good
go,
God in heaven, you know, I love you. I like that line.
Yeah, right. Good God in heaven, you know, exactly. So, sure. But, you know, to say what's the first, there isn't a first. Things evolve.
How would you like to be a member of a group named Orange Marmalade?
No. Yeah, right. And do things like Jelly Jungle?
Yeah. Well, I love food. And so you name food, you know, cupcake this. Something.
Oh, so you like the, lemon pipers too? I see.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, they were the one that did that begging song. My green tambourine.
Yeah, Green Tambourine, absolutely. And I'll always say that one of the reasons that was a hit is Cliff in Dallas used to have wonderful showcase studios. It was on the second floor of a triangular building. And the night guy, Rabbit, he found out that Green Tambourine made the light organs flash in such a way that it was better than anything else. This guy played it every hour.
Green Tambourine, I like. I guess we're going back.
Well, and if we get into food, that's a horrible thing because half of the bubblegum records, well, bubblegum itself, but half of the bubblegum records are out food.
Ohio Express, was that a group?
Well, of course.
They didn't do Yummy, Yummy, Yummy.
Either, I think they did, but if it wasn't, then it was the 1910 Fruit Gum Company. But I think
I think it was the Ohio Express, actually.
Yeah, I think it was the Ohio Express, actually. That was Joey Levine who wrote that, yeah, with Artie Resnick.
I like the Simple Simon 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Well, then there's Quick Joey Small. Yeah, there's all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So so certainly. No, I don't think anybody's getting sued.
Well, probably not. But if I wanted some money, I'd probably make it to somebody. That, I heard this guy on Raleigh James show talk about Dougie Wuggie. So I'm going to... I'll take you to court. But,
right. Good luck on that.
Take it to court.
Yeah.
But anyway... I'm going to call back another night because I grew up in the 45 record era, and the some of those B-sides
are better than the A-sides.
So, better. And so I like the B-sides. Now you played a song by something the Marvelettes earlier.
Oh, Strange I Know.
They had a song called I think this was a B-side from 1964. Called Tie a String Around Your Finger So You Won't Forget. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Tie a String Around
Your Finger. Yes, 1963. And that was Holland Dozier Holland. In 63. Almost all their stuff was Holland Dozier Holland.
Oh, okay. And I would play it for my friend. And they said, where do you get that string? I said, turn the record over. That was the A side. But Tie a String, I think, was the B side. Yeah. Because I didn't hear him playing on the radio, so I assumed it was a B-side.
Well, and sometimes, much to the chagrin of the record companies, the disc jockeys will flip them back when they actually saw records. And we talked about that last night. I mean, Earth Angel never would have happened if it wasn't for Huggy Boy flipping Hey Senorita.
I didn't know that. I got the shock of my life with that. But one more thing before I go. The Drifters. There were so many groups.
Wait a minute.
Which
Drifters? Because as you know, the name was owned by the manager, George Treadwell. So are we talking the first group of Drifters with Clyde McFadder or the second group of Drifters with Benny King?
Well, now I don't know. This was with somebody else. After the song that I liked, which I think was the A-side, was Don't Go. The name of the song was Please Stay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was A-side, but when I turned the record over, it sounded like the old Drifters from Climate. Oh, hard working daddy, we're hard every day.
Please Stay, actually.
It was so different from Please Stay. I'm thinking, that must be the original Drifters side and the updated one on the other
side. But when Please Stay came out in 1961, the flip was No Sweet Lovin'.
Oh, yeah, No Sweet Lovin' Tonight. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The guy said, I've just quoted the word, something about a hard-working daddy working hard every day or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
No Sweet Lovin' Tonight.
Right.
No Sweet Lovin' Tonight. And that did not sound, and I said, this doesn't sound like the same Drifters. This must be a new, how many different...
Take all night to tell you everybody who was in the Drifters, but there were two completely separate different groups because George Treadwell got ticked off and went out and took the Five Crowns, which was Benny King's group. And by the way, it was Benny, B-E-N-N-Y, not Ben E till later. But anyway, Benny King's group, he took the Five Crowns. And then, of course, Benny left and he was replaced by Rudy Lewis. So it depends as far as lead singers when you're talking about that. But do you know about Uncle Marvie? Because you should. All right, Uncle Marby.
Who's that?
It's a guy who's got a website, Marv. I'm trying to think of his last name. But anyway, UncleMarby.com. And this guy has written more on the groups you're talking about than anybody alive. And his name was Marv Goldberg. And it was Marv Goldberg R&B Notebooks. And he has an article on the early Drifters, and he has an article on the later Drifters. And you're talking on that record, later Drifters. But you need to read his stuff if you're really interested in this.
You mentioned Dean. You played a love song by Dean Martin.
Yeah, well, a big hit.
Everybody loves him. I go back to the 50s when it sounded like, you know, Memories Are Made of This.
Right.
It sounded like a garage band. something. And fast forward to the 60s, and I like, here I go again, the Drifters. Memories Are Made. I like their version better than his.
Uh-huh.
Memories Are Made of This.
Yeah, it's a great song by them.
They did it differently.
Yeah, it's a great song by them.
And
that was later Drifters. That was 1966.
I'm Lucy.
Yeah, so, you know.
When did they do the song? Now, I don't know instruments either. They had a song called I'll Take You Home, and it had a ukulele or some kind of guitar-type thing, you know, I'll Take You Home, Little Girl, Don't Be Blue. You
right,
know,
no, absolutely. It was beach music. That was 1963, originally.
And there was an instrument there that, well, I can't imitate
it. I don't know, but Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil wrote that.
Guitar or ukulele or something.
Yeah.
You know, I'll Take You Home. But anyway, I'm going to go. I'm trying to get some
but
sleep.
By the way, you're right on thinking No Sweet Lovin' was the earlier Drifters. The voice that you're hearing on that is Bill Pinkney, and that was actually recorded in 1955.
Oh, I like those low-down voices.
Bill Pinkney was great.
I love it.
Yeah, but so, you know, a good ear, because Please Stay, that was Benny King, and No Sweet Lovin' was Bill Pinkney. So two completely different groups of Drifters.
But yet they put one on one side and one, I guess.
Well,
remember
the name was owned by George Treadwell, so there's the
contract.
Oh,
that's right.
There's the contract. So sure, they could do it.
I guess if you own the name, you could do whatever the heck you want.
Well, there's a number of things like that, but yeah, absolutely, it was perfectly perfectly acceptable. Now, why they pulled it from 1955, I couldn't begin to tell you, because there were so many other things they. From which they could have chosen, but they didn't.
But I'm a talker. I'm sorry.
You know, cause
Elvis. Elvis. When it rains, it really pours. I had never heard that song until one of the DJs in the local area played it. But it wasn't originally by Elvis. It was by a.
Well, most of his stuff wasn't originally by Elvis.
Well.
Hound Dog.
Well, that's
please.
True.
You know, that's Big Mama Thornton. Don't ever kid
don't
yourself.
Get me.
Yeah.
Now, to me, even as a kid, I thought her version, to me, made more sense than his did.
Well, of course, it was a much better
you
record.
You never caught a rabbit. What the hell? I mean, what the heck was he talking about?
Yeah.
Hers, you ain't nothing but a hound dog
right.
just snooping around my door. I ain't gonna, you can wag your tail. I ain't going to feed you no more.
Right, exactly.
No more. That made more sense to me. You never caught a rabbit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a person in Great Britain listening to something? What the heck does he mean he never caught a rabbit?
Well, when it rains, it really pours. That was Billy Kid, the Kid Emerson.
Yes. Oh, you know, I forgot. Yes.
Yeah, that's
what
it was.
But because I heard Elvis's first, I kind of liked his.
Well, that happens.
A little more.
That happens. The first song, usually, that's not unusual. But yeah, the Billy Kid Emerson was the original. And he wrote it.
Yeah.
So hopefully he got the writer's credit when Elvis recorded it.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I'm going. I will call next week.
I'll
enjoy
count on
you.
It.
I'm glad my friend introduced me to your show and you, because I thought, yeah, she didn't know what she's talking about.
No, of course
I'm
not.
I'm talking about my friend, but my friend was correct. Love your show. Love what you're doing.
All right, so
Have a good rest of the night.
Give a shout out to your friend before you go. What's her name? His name? Whatever.
That's her name. Her name is Debbie Herring. I call her Sweet Debbie.
Okay, Debbie.
Because because I'm secretly in love with her. But she knows that. It's no secret anymore.
All right.
Well,
I'll talk to you soon. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Okay,
right.
Goodbye.
So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern where we used to raise a glass or two. Remember how we laughed away the hours. Think of all of the great things we would do. Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never.
We'll pick it up right here. We've got another hour to talk to you on WGN Radio. James, 1964, more Donnie Elbert, Run Little Girl on Gateway. All right, so, and Mary Hopkin, by the way, was a request for Ruth, who we'll be talking to later this hour, and I hope she enjoyed it. God knows I didn't. All right, Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, it's great to talk to you again.
Yes, and it's so good to hear your voice, and you're sounding strong. And were those your requests, by the way, Dean Martin and the Four Seasons?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Dean Martin was for my mother.
Yes.
And Four Seasons was for me because of the girl I proposed to.
Yeah.
Told me no.
Yeah.
And I also requested...
Yeah, yes, Trace Atkinson, I'm probably not ever going to do it.
Okay, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I was just doing that for the Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And I called seven times.
Oh, believe me.
After we got cut off.
You're so not alone. I mean, I don't know what to say. I realize it was an ATA problem. And one of the, you know, the old, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Well, one of the things is I've got ATAs at both locations. They never can be plugged in simultaneously. But normally it doesn't matter if one is off and the other one is on. Well, apparently it matters a little more than I realized.
Yes, and I was going, I'm here,
yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
here.
Exactly, I know. Well, and now you are here, so what's up? You were saying it's a good day you didn't hear from anybody.
I didn't talk to anybody today, good. And I'm in a better mood today.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm not, you know, I'm thinking of myself all day today.
Excellent.
But I wanted to say that I don't remember last year if we had a bet or not, but the Edmonton Oilers won tonight.
All right, so they and the Panthers, I guess, will be doing it, right?
Right, and it's a replay of last year's Stanley Cup Finals.
And where is it this year?
Well, it goes two games here, okay. Two games there,
all
two
right.
games here, two
all
games.
Right. Okay.
But I don't remember if we had a bet last year.
No.
So, but it's, I have to tell you, it's rocks. My grandson's team, the Panthers, against your Oilers.
That's right. Yes, that's right. All right. And, well, I don't know that we need to bet on it, but we certainly can cheer both sides.
Right. And I don't know if I told you about it, but I got a video.
Yes. Yes.
And then some. And then my friend, I showed her the video, and she looked at it, and because I can't see the video, but I found out that he was sitting on his dad's lap.
Good.
And his mother was yelling, let's go. No, it's go, Cats, go.
Yeah.
And then he said, go, Cats, go. And that was the first time I heard his voice.
That's great.
But I do not understand what is with 40-year-olds that don't talk on the phone.
Oh, I know. And if you think it's bad with 40-year-olds, imagine what it is for guys and gals who are in their teens or 20s. People don't talk on the phone anymore. That's why if you notice on your plans on any cell phone, it always says unlimited talk. Yeah, because no one's talking. They don't usually say
right.
unlimited data. People are not talking anymore.
Right. So here's my son was there. Mm-hmm. And I've sent him 100 texts to please call, and I, you know, or we, can you talk? And I don't get anything back.
Right.
So I don't understand it.
Well, take the hint, basically. For whatever reason, there's a lot going on with him, and if he doesn't want to be in contact, so be it. Do not stress it.
Right.
Just do not stress
right.
it.
But all my communications are with his wife,
right?
You know,
right?
And about my grandson and everything, but I just don't understand it, and it's killing me.
Well,
you know?
You see, that's what I mean. At some point, you should just accept it because that's the way it is. Now, in terms of why it is, this probably is years and years of angst in his life, and I'm not saying you caused any of it, but you know, certainly your ex-wife, his mother, is not on good terms with you, and certainly did her best to make sure the kids weren't either. And so it almost doesn't matter in terms of what, you know. Yeah, you could try to figure out, well, what is it, and try to rectify it, but the reality is that just accept it and just move on. Don't let it ruin your day.
Right. It's not ruining
right.
my day.
Right, because you can't fix it. That's what I'm saying. Don't be frustrated. You cannot fix it. Because in order to fix something, both sides have to want to fix it. And at this point, he doesn't want to. He just wants no contact.
Right.
So
the thing is, I would like to sit there and talk to, you know, on the speakerphone to the three of them and say, hi, is he talking? But now I found out he is.
Well, now here's...
And is
here's,
he walking?
Yeah.
Does he have all his teeth? I would like to find out all those things.
Well, you don't need to find them out from the three of them. You see, in a way, he's made it clear he doesn't want to be in contact. So whether you'd like for him to be on the phone or not is irrelevant. He does not want to do it. So honor it. If his wife, your daughter-in-law, will have those conversations, then great. But don't keep pushing that he should be involved because he doesn't want to. And the more you push, the further you will drive him.
Right. And if I ask her to give me a call, she'll turn to me and say, I'll have to talk to Bobby first.
Right. And the reason that she's that way is she knows there's an issue. And she doesn't want to be in the middle where he's coming down on her.
Right.
See, unfortunately, you don't have any clout in this situation.
Right.
And so...
But with all that's going on...
It doesn't matter.
With everything.
Doesn't matter.
I wouldn't... No, I mean, with my siblings and everything.
I know.
I would love to have someone to talk to.
Well, but it can't be somebody who doesn't want to talk to you.
Right. And...
You have to respect that.
Right.
And that's important.
And thank you for playing my song.
Oh, absolutely. Happy to do it.
But I can understand about Trace Atkins. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, and I'm glad the phones are working.
Oh, me too. You have no idea. Now, of course, Monday we'll be back at the other studio, and hopefully they'll work there.
Okay.
And we'll see.
And then... You and John have a wonderful weekend.
You too. And don't stress. Don't worry about this stuff.
I'm not stressed. I'm just telling you, I don't understand 40-year-olds.
Well, like I say, it's not understanding 40-year-olds. You have a son who doesn't want to be in contact with you.
Right.
That's as simple as that. You can understand that.
So, okay.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Yeah, you may not want to understand it, but you can understand it, and not accepting it is absolutely throwing it in his face. It's only going to get you further apart. So 888-876-5593. Let's talk about something happy for a moment. Eduardo is in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, how about yourself?
Good, yeah, we're coming into the weekend here. Just a little thing here, because I primarily want to talk about the Scripps spelling bee, but I saw an article where they said 9% between 20-year-olds and 24-years as far as unemployment. Okay. They're the stay-home sons.
Okay.
So.
And does it say if that is voluntary? Because some people don't want to work. So does it say whether that's voluntary or that they cannot find work?
They didn't really get into that.
Because
they featured, this is like the Wall Street Journal, and this guy they were profiling was somebody who was on Jeopardy.
Right, okay. The other thing is that when you're saying 20-something, usually the demographic, when we're looking at the way the researchers break it down, is 16 to 24. And, of course, part of those are teenagers, so that's going to fluctuate no matter what. But as far as 9% unemployment rate for young workers, that doesn't tell us anything, because what percentage of those 9% actually are looking for work or want to work?
Yeah.
You know, I hate unemployment figures.
And then I guess the other thing too, like seniority. I went to BMO the other day, and so they had the three people there. Two out of the three said goodbye. So
yeah.
I don't know how long they were there, but I mean, they seem pretty young. So young people, seniority is a joke.
Well, sure, and they may not be striving for it. Back in the day, you worked your time and you got your gold watch and you retired. The likelihood that somebody is going to retire from the firm that they started with as a youngster, basically, is very low. It can happen, but it's not the norm. And I would think today that young people don't even aspire to anything like that.
Yeah, I was at a social thing over here in Tampa the other day, and I happened to bring up the fact that my place here is paid up, and had that shock look, like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, so the spelling bee. How dare they? How dare they give them a French word?
Oh, my goodness. Those words are really tough. I mean, I was fourth grade for my class. I tied with a girl, and I didn't really go super far, but... I was able to get out of my class with a girl. We kind of tied up, but that kind of reminded me of that competition. So it's something, one of my favorite competitions is spelling. So I like this one girl where she was, because obviously they can't have pens and, to write on.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this one girl who was like doing like an imaginary write on her hand.
Right.
I thought that was kind of cute. Yeah.
Well, I still say, you know, the spelling bee should not be determined by a French word. And in this case, the word is éclaircissement. All right, now, éclaircissement to most of us in the United States sounds like a dessert. All right, it does not sound like it means clarification in English, which is what it does mean, by the way. But I can't imagine this is not an English word. And so I don't get it.
Well, they give out, like, the definition, you know, they do as much, they pronounce
it's éclaircissement, and it means you know, we know what it means, but it's not used in English.
Yeah,
you know, in fact, I say clarification, but when you really get down to it, there's a nuance to this of basically clarifying something that's very obscure. And then so what that would come down to, éclaircissement can mean enlightenment. I mean, come on. Éclaircissement. Yeah. That just, but the kid knew it, obviously, and it's really interesting because it was a nail biter, because this kid came in second last time, and this time he came in first, but he was kind of strutting his stuff earlier and almost caused his own doom in this. And then, I think there was another word that you say, Kamalina. And he started out with K-A-M and then said, well, and then he says, oh, shoot, just ring the bell. And that was...
Yeah, good American words. Yeah, that's what it should be, yeah.
It should be. It also should be words that the average American understands. You know, the bottom line is, you know...
You do have a point, yeah.
Éclaircissement. Now, who on earth has ever said that in America?
In a conversation, yeah.
Right, in any conversation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just don't get it. An 11-year-old finished third and had the third-year-old won. The 11-year-old won. He would have been the youngest championship since, you know, like about a decade ago. And so I guess the deal is that there's one who from Visalia, California, who's 14. So he now ages out of the competition. And so, you know.
Oh, my God. I saw one guy that looked like he was in his early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my goodness.
No,
yeah.
these are kids.
Let me see your birth certificate.
Right, right, exactly. Well, we assume that they're, you know, they're coming from the schools. So somewhere along the way, they had to. But, you know, what's interesting is that they could just ask the average American how to spell these top three finalist names, and we couldn't do it. You know.
Yeah, I saw a lot of long names. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
The winner is Faizan Zaki. Okay, not too bad. But then you get down to the runner-ups. Sardavada, yeah, whatever. Smith, as I like to say. And then another one that Sarv Deravane. I don't know. You know, what's wrong with people who were, and these kids probably were born in America, but you know what I mean. The average American who's Todd Smith or whatever, why isn't he ever in these contests? I'm not sure what that says, and it's probably a topic for another show, but the bottom line is I give it to all three of these kids. They're doing well.
Yeah.
And why aren't
they? Yeah, well, they had good parenting. You saw the parents of all these contestants in the audience.
Exactly. Yeah. So why aren't the rest of us doing well? I don't know. But in any event, I don't know that I would be embarrassed not to know éclaircissement.
Okay, I got a request here before I jump out. Alice Coltrane and Joe Henderson, the name of the song is Fire.
Oh, okay. You betcha. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, hey, have a good weekend. Okay,
you too. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And I guess we'll continue. We've got, all sorts of things. Some requests. All right, David and Cindy. And we've got Mark and Aurora, Mary Hopkin. All right, we'll get some éclaircissement on that. Or not. And Linda and Laura in Willowbrook, first time directing community theater. What could possibly go wrong? Coming up on WGN Radio.
So you reach for your makeup in your pocketbook. just stand center stage in the spotlight. And you put on a show, you put on a show, 'cause you want to be the star. That's who you think that you are. Put on a show, oh, 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 oh. You sit in the quiet of your dressing room.
El Chicano. Now, John and I were talking about them earlier, so I was listening to KJ and actually heard One More Night, one of my favorites. Man, they were so good, and they still are touring, but not the same. The original, of course, is Bobby Espinoza's group, and he died, sadly, about 2010, and he was just so good. But there were so many, and for a while back, well, early in the time, the Salas Brothers, who became Tierra, they were in it for a while, along with Andre Bieza and a couple other people. But yeah, they put out some great stuff. And of course, most people remember Viva, you might not even remember Viva Dorado, but that was the closest to a big hit. It was number one in LA for like 3 months. And, you know, of course, Tell Her She's Lovely was national and all that. But I thought Put On a Show and One More Night were just terrific albums. And rest in peace to Bobby Espinoza, who really was the group as far as I'm concerned. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Let's get to some requests fairly quickly. David in Winthrop Harbor, what is it you want to hear?
Raleigh?
Yes.
Hello, it's David.
Yes.
How are you?
All right. What do you want to hear?
I want to hear, do you want to talk about, well, you curmudgeoned the old, what is it, Young Men Blues. So I was going to throw in the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Mr. Bojangles.
Why their version?
I don't know. Pardon me?
Why their version?
Nitty Gritty Dirt.
Yeah, why their version?
Because I think it's the best.
You do, huh? All right, it's a Jerry Jeff Walker song, as you probably know. And he wrote it.
I don't know.
He wrote it and recorded it originally. And then Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Actually, there was a song I kind of liked by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, but never was much of a hit, Buy For Me the Rain.
You play that one?
Oh, you remember that?
I don't. You know, remember, I'm a product of the 60s.
Yeah, well, Buy For Me the Rain. Buy For Me the Rain was the middle 60s.
I'm a product of the 60s. I was born in the 60s, meaning...
all right.
Remember I told you.
Yeah, all right. So we'll get you Buy For Me the Rain, and we'll get you the Jerry Jeff Walker version.
But I want to go to something more important.
All right, go for it.
So, and... The Myers-Briggs testing or type indicator,
yeah.
Right?
16 of them, yep.
Yes. So there's a fella that I hear from Japan.
Right, absolutely, okay. Naoto.
Naoto, right? Well, I've had it done 3 times on me, the MBTI.
And what are you?
I come out the same.
What are you?
I'm an ISFJ.
Okay.
So I was thinking about a way we could maybe stump him.
Oh, no. Well, he certainly got it. Yeah, the ISFJ known as the Defender. Yeah, so so sure.
So you, have you done that?
No.
The MD? No?
But just because no one ever asked me to, I probably would have, but no one ever did. I didn't have to for any form of employment or whatever. You know, they just want to know, could I hit the post? They didn't really care about what I was bringing into the building. ISFJs are the most common personality type. More people are ISFJ than anything else. And if you're wondering, that's about 13.
That's the same as my blood type.
All right. Well, so you're O positive or something?
But, yeah.
Okay. Well, 13.8% of the general population. The rarest is the INFJ. So, yes, the INFJ is only 1.5% of the population.
So you learned all this from...
I'm just aware of it, you know.
You're aware, but you learned it from...
Yes.
What I like about you is the fact that I can't remember all this stuff, but you have an encyclopedic
mind. Thank God for talk radio, because it's absolutely useless information. It will do me absolutely no good for any other reason. So I guess to strut my stuff
maybe
here.
Maybe the $68,000 question on
honeymooners. Yeah, right. I'd be terrible at that.
You
kind
just
of stuff.
Start shaking like
yeah.
Ralph.
No, I'm not competitive. I don't really have an interest in strutting my stuff. But anyway, we will get your request on next week.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
all right.
Appreciate
good deal. So 888-876-5593. I got about 15 minutes here, so I'm trying to move everybody along so we don't have a bunch of people hanging on at the end of the night. Mark in Aurora, what's up?
Well, I wanted to request Mary Hopkins
Goodbye.
Oh, God. Goodbye, McCartney thing.
I'm not doing
it. The thing that I noticed is that... she must have been an old soul when she recorded
Who cares?
Those Were the Days, because she was 18 in 1968, so she probably recorded that when she was 17, and the other person that puts me in mind of is Michael Jackson. I mean, he was singing those lyrics about, you know, The Love You Save in 1970 when he was still a kid.
He's not writing the lyrics. Yeah, but he's not writing the lyrics. It's like she didn't write it.
Oh, yeah, but he's... But he's singing them expressively.
All right, well, there you go.
He knows what he's talking about.
All right.
But Mary Hopkin must have been an old soul, whereas I think Michael Jackson grew up too fast.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. I'm just not going to play. I played Those Were the Days. That's the only Mary Hopkin this year. Ask me next year, maybe I'll be able to play it. But I can't get to it.
Oh, you hate it that much?
Yes. Talk to you later. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. Next year at this time, you'll call and request it, and I'll play it. I'll leave the room, but I'll play it. All right, thanks. So, Mary Hopkin. God, and this was all Ruth from Gurney's fault. She requested it. All right, so Ruth, you're up. No, Ruth left us. I hope it wasn't anything I said. Yeah, well, there could be that. Laura and Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I'll just make it short. That way I'll finish next week.
Yes.
But you said, what could possibly happen?
Yeah.
Okay. We basically just had a meeting through Skype, an internet meeting, so you could see each other and talk. And I'll just tell you one thing that happened, the weird thing that happened. I had my dog in the house, and I was on the balcony, and I was trying to deal with not having him bark. All of a sudden, they're like, could you please? And I'm like, could you please have him stop barking? So then I put him in the house. And then it's like he's barking more, so I'm trying to adjust it. It's like I was having trouble because the dog wouldn't stop barking. But eventually, finally, I closed him in the bathroom.
Okay. Well,
so,
there you are.
Yes, if something can go wrong, something did.
Well, onward and upward from there.
I'll tell you more next week, though.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later, Riley.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, pets ruining the scene. It's actually a whole YouTube genre, and it's really great when it's television news. But all right, James on the South Side has a request. So, James, what is it you want to hear?
Okay, When Sunny Gets Blue by Johnny Mathis.
Oh, that version.
And
okay.
You might want about a story about apparently there was a federal judge made a bunch of suits that had been filed a couple years ago about Burger King exaggerated the size of the Whopper and the other sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
allowed it to go forward, and I guess it, I don't know if it got class action, but it looks like it's got traction.
That's unfortunate. All right, well, I'll consider that for next week, but how unfortunate, and you'll also get your Johnny Mathis. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, good deal. Yeah, I think actually the Kenny Rankin version of that is the killer on When Sunny Gets Blue, but that's just me. Cindy in Chicago's got a request. Okay, Cindy, what do you want to hear?
Yeah, well, first I want to tell you, I used to do a lot of reading when I, you know, up until I was about 45, and I read the book Type Talk at Work.
Okay.
And anyhow, I'm an ISTJ. It always comes up that way.
Okay.
But then anyhow, the requests were, I don't know if you would play it. They used to play these songs on WJJD.
What's the song?
Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley.
Oh, yeah, right, Kingston Trio. Okay, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I didn't know if you would. And then the other one, I don't know the name of it. It's L something, but it's I'd Rather Be a Hammer Than a Nail.
I'll think about it.
I guess that's a real hippie song.
Oh, well, great. I'll look for it, and I'll listen if I find it. All right, good deal. We'll play Tom Dooley for you next week, I promise. All right, so next will be Nick in Baltimore. He and I are going to close the show, but first I got to do this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, early Donnie Elbert, 1957 on Deluxe. Yeah, big East LA song. Not a hit anywhere, I don't think, but certainly a lot of memories for a lot of people. All right, so 888-876-5593. The floor goes to Nick in Baltimore. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I can't complain. I got 8 minutes to talk, and I get to talk to you. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I got some fun stuff for you, but I enjoyed Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
The other day. Oh, it was one of my favorites. And I remember when... I was a little kid, though, but I remember when she got killed in it.
Yeah. March 5th, 1963. Yeah.
Back in those days, and it was in the plane crashes were, I guess, common.
Yeah, and there were a spate of them. There were also a lot of commercial crashes. You know, some of those early 727s, they didn't realize hairline fractures were in the tail and it would pull them down. And there were quite a few in the early 60s.
I mean, I didn't mean to go on that bend, but I just remember.
You're right. There absolutely were.
But, and it was a big deal if there weren't any. But I got some fun stuff. I was surfing the web. And I found these channels on YouTube. One is the Backroads channel, and the other one is the Appalachian channel. And on these two things, they had they featured small town radio stations and give you a little tour and history of it, and it was really neat. So,
wow!
If people like to look at that, the Backroads channel and then the Appalachian channel.
Okay. Yeah, here we are. Yeah, I see the KMEM in Memphis, Missouri. All right.
Yeah. I watched that, and it was really... And they have a bunch of stations, too.
Sure.
In Minnesota and...
Yeah.
But it's kind of neat. You don't see that very often.
So the Backroads channel is one, and what's the other one?
The other one is the Appalachian channel.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And they featured WPAQ out of Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, PAQ.
Yeah, 740.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
And it's kind of neat to see that. You don't see very many. The only small town radio station I remember, real quick, I know the show's wrapping up, is WSNJ out in Bridgeton, New Jersey, and that's gone now. But is a throwback to.
There used to be a ton of small town radio stations. When I used to drive the interstates when they were first building them, I had a lot of fun listening. And my favorite was one guy. And he might have been in Missouri, but it could have been Arkansas, too, but in that area, where he was doing the morning news. And after he read a story, he heard the pages rustle, and he said, okay, we'll go to page 3 now. This guy was reading the newspaper, and I thought it was just hilarious. But, you know, the things that you'd hear, and, of course, all the swap shops and all of the, you know, lost dog and cat reports, and it was just terrific.
Oh, yeah. I remember those swap shop shows,
sure.
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had one on WPTF years ago.
Well, most stations did, and then, you know, a lot of them called them Tradio. And those stations, those stations got in trouble because a Texas station had copyrighted the name. So suddenly Tradio had to become like the Trade Line or something else because they couldn't call it Tradio anymore, but sure. And the other thing is that a lot of them wouldn't let you sell anything for cash. You had to trade it. And, of course, early on what people realized was the code word for how much money you wanted was green stamps, because one book of green stamps was worth $3. So, you know, you'd say, I've got four of these, and I'll take three books of green stamps. You know, and what he was asking for, of course, is $9. But it was funny to listen to them.
Oh, I never knew that.
Oh, yeah.
I remember hearing that, and they never knew what that meant.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the way. Yeah, that's the way they'd get the money. Sure. Yeah, because it was merchants and S&H green stamps, and there were a couple, and all of them, a book was worth $3. So that's why it would always be, I want 6 books of green stamps for this TV here. You know, that's what it was.
Oh, wow. See, so much we learn. Anyway, I guess I've wrapped the show up, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll call again next week.
I'm counting on it, actually. Yes.
I'll come up with some fun stuff.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to it.
All right.
Hey, okay, thanks.
Have a
appreciate
good one.
It. Thanks. Appreciate it, Nick. All right, so 888-876-5593. Yeah, I heard a girl call one of those trade shows. Obviously, she was putting in a prank call. But she was selling this place that had bars in every room and made it sound like a saloon, and what she was trying to sell was the county jail. But in any event, we've got 2 minutes, and those 2 minutes, if she can do it, belong to Sherry. So we're timing it. All right, Sherry, 2 minutes are yours.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. All right, I had to take off speakers.
Mm-hmm.
But that very first man that called, I think, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin-ish,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about the 78s that somebody gave him.
Yes.
Yes. I have only like 12 to 20 of those 78s.
Mm-hmm.
from my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
and they had no, what do I want to say, like the cardboard sleeve.
Yeah, they had no shucks.
Like normal albums.
Yeah, no shucks, but they could have had
they
shucks.
Just had the paper thing with
absolutely, that's the way they were sold, much like 45s, and it was a shuck. It was usually basically a piece of paper, maybe a little stronger than a piece of paper, but a piece of paper.
But anyway, so I listen. I've told you 100 times,
and I told you you got 45 seconds.
Okay, so I listen to WDCB, and at 5 to 6 o'clock, I think, on Saturdays, I listen to the I listen also to the Jukebox Saturday Night, and Carl Pearson. Like, he does Glenn Miller
mm-hmm.
things and all this other stuff. And it's not just what was mm-hmm. printed. It's what he found.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some cohort in Colorado. And I had asked, like, 6 or 8 months ago, does he have a death plan? Like, if anything
goes awry.
You got to tell me next. You got to tell me next week, Shari. I told you. You had exactly 2 minutes.
I mean,
we'll talk to you next week.
Writing,
thanks.
But...
All right. So that's it. All right. And that pretty much is a wrap. Yeah. When I give you a time, it means it. All right. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. So next live show is Monday Night Trivia. Tomorrow's a replay. Don't call, but definitely call Monday night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.